Welcome to Let's Be Love. This is your girl, V. And today, my special guest is Lovey. Lovey, thank you for joining us.
Hi. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, Lovey, I know you're the creator of an LGBT podcast called Les Couples Talk.
Yes, I am.
So I am excited to have you join us.
Thank you.
I always start with my icebreaker question. When I say the word love, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Peace of mind. Yeah, I think it's important to have that. Once you say the word love, that should come automatically. You know what I mean? You should just feel at ease. You should feel comforted, calm, supported. So peace of mind is everything for me. And so I tie that in with love.
Yeah, you grew up in Trinidad. I know you're on the East Coast now, but you grew up in Trinidad.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about life growing up in Trinidad.
Okay. Well, for those who don't know, Trinidad and Tobago is a tiny island. geographically, we are in South America. And we are actually the wealthiest country in the Caribbean islands, in all of the Caribbean islands. Growing up in Trinidad, I lived with my mom and my brother. Had a stepfather in the household, but, you know, mom was always the one most active and ensuring that her kids were okay, working two or sometimes three jobs to, you know, just ensure that her kids are supported and they want for nothing. So that's what my life was like. Went to school. I also have three sisters, but they are on my father's side of the family. So I would visit them, go spend time with them. You know, we were always close, connected. My father always ensured we had that relationship, you know, and that bond with each other, even though we weren't living together, right? So life was pretty, I would say, simple. My mother was very strict. You know, most parents are, I guess, you know, growing up in the older days, but she was still very supportive of whatever we wanted to do. And so I think her working two jobs or three jobs was her showing her way of, okay, this is me making these sacrifices to ensure that you all can have the future that you all want to have. So that's my life, basically, growing up in Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah.
Now I'm curious about, like, the culture in terms of, is it open-minded there? They have, like, gay pride events. So what was the life
right.
In terms of discovering your sexuality?
Okay, good question. I like. okay, so we are still very close-minded in terms of our culture. Very archaic, old. Church and state run a big part of our country and economy. So the laws that should be passed, or the laws that should be removed for LGBT members to live their lives freely, they are still there and oppressing them, basically, and you are not allowed to live your truest and fullest self. So the community is growing. I will say I've been to a couple of prides in Trinidad. Yeah, pride parties, pride parades. And it's growing. The following is coming. People are getting braver. And I think, too, it's like the younger generation who are showing that resistance and that resilience to get their voices heard and to speak up, you know. So I think with the influx of that, it helps the community to feel a little safer or a little braver in coming forward and in being who they want to be authentically. There still is the stigma attached to homosexuality, and people tend to give an eye or, you know, turn their face up at you some weird way. Some people may say something that can be considered rude or cross, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I guess there's a struggle in any part of the world. So it just takes the people really coming together and showing how much they really want this and how far they're willing to go to get what they want. And so I have seen the community grown from nothing to to grow into actually being something, and to be able to have pride parades now is a big step. We only recently, like a few years ago, struck down a law that now allows anal sex to be legal. That was still illegal.
That was a law that it was
yes, yes. Like Trinidad and Tobago has been under the British rule from way back when, and we still follow a lot of the British laws. So we are independent, but a lot of our laws are still structured along that British old time philosophy.
Wow.
Right. Right. So there's a lot of catching up to do. There's a lot of research that needs to be done, you know, for the government and the other people who are serving the people within the country, you know, the leaders and the representatives. They have a lot of work to get done to actually allow people to live their lives and make these things legal for them to feel safe and know that they are supported. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's where...
Are there any gay clubs there?
Oh, yeah. They're small. And they're in really, like, hidden or secluded areas. and I guess that's just more so for safety reasons. You know, so, they, like, let's say if there's going to be a pride party, they won't put the location out, like, way before the event. Maybe, like, a day or two before, that's when you know, well, exactly where you need to be to have this safe space of a pride event. So that's
What about your personal kind of coming out journey? When did you get to the point where you felt comfortable enough to tell your family?
Wow, well, that would not have been until late into my adult years, and I'm talking just nearing 30.
Okay.
saying those words to my mother or to my father was the most difficult thing that I probably ever had to do. They knew because they heard stories or they saw, you know, my partner at that time hanging around, and, you know, I introduced them, but I never said those words like, this is my girlfriend or this is my partner. Right. But of course, they're smart enough to know that, hey, something may be going on here.
Yeah, but y'all are that... friendly.
Right, right, right. Yeah. But the idea of one coming out to your parents in the Caribbean or in Trinidad, let me narrow it to where I'm from, it's almost a non-entity. Just because of the culture and the way of thinking, you know, as I said before, it's still old school and it's taking a lot. So for me, it took a lot to come out to my parents or to actually say, this is my partner. I am gay or I'm a lesbian, right? But it took my dad asking me and my mom asking me before I came to them. I was not that brave then. As I am now, right? To actually, like, just go to them and be like, hey, this is what's up. I wasn't there yet. And it probably would stem from fear too, but not in a bad way, but fear kind of out of respect, if that makes any sense. Because just saying it to them was just, it was just so weird for me. And so I knew that I liked girls. I knew that I looked at them for a longer time than I probably should have. I knew how I felt, you know, towards the feminine species. But just having that opportunity to be that brave and come forward and come out to my folks and just say those words to them, it was difficult. But it was, I was able to actually do it and have that conversation with them and, you know, just explain certain things because they weren't able to understand it. And I think today there are some things that they still don't understand about it, but they have come to a point where they have accepted who I am and my wife and my life. And they are very supportive and encourage, you know, love and peace and serenity. So I'm really grateful for that now, even though I felt that fear to come out to them then. Now it's like, why didn't I do this all along? Like, it would have been fine anyway. They're still mom and dad, you know.
Yeah, there's always that fear of rejection from friends and family.
Yes.
And I listened to, because I just discovered your podcast recently. And I listened to one of your recent podcasts with your father. And I just, like, fell in love with him. Of course, your accent.
Yes.
He was so open-minded in the sense that he was just loving. He cared more about his daughter
than
your sexuality. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
I know. And a lot of people still don't have this opportunity now, right? Some people might say, it's 2020, you know, we're forward thinking, I'm progressive, but I guess that depends on what part of the world you're in, you know? So, yeah. Totally get it.
When and why did you move to the U.S.?
I met my wife in 2015. In a Facebook group, actually. This might sound cliche, but it's true. I met my wife in a lesbian Facebook group. It was like a movement, a kind of spiritual group where, you know, we would share quotes and ideas and, you know, philosophies and just have really good convo in that group. And I met her in that group. We were friends, flirted a bit. But of course, at that time, you know, I had a partner and stuff, and there was a lot of things that needed to be worked out. She also had stuff that needed to be worked out. And basically, we had work to do on ourselves, right? To take us to where we are now. So I met her in that group. We stayed friends over a period of time, kind of trailed off, you know, over time. Reconnected, but we always kept reconnecting. And that was something that, you know, like, even if I don't hear from her, let's say even a year passes and then she just pops up and I'm like, it's you again, you know. Yeah. So when I met her, you know, I always been telling her that because most of my family, I should also say, lives in the U.S., like my sisters, my cousins, my aunts, but they are like in New York and, yeah, Staten Island, Philly. So I have family all over the U.S. And me coming to see them was never really a thing because the process to get to the U.S. was crazy. But when they would come home, that would be our time to see each other and reconnect there. But in terms of actually coming to the U.S., it was always something that I wanted to do and to experience. More so on the vacation side of things, more than anything, because it was just always this wowing factor. You know what I mean? When you see all the ads and everybody looks so happy and the summertime. So it was more of a vacation thing for me at first.
Now, I'm the opposite. I want to go on vacation to Trinidad and Tobago.
And that's exactly what my wife says. She's like, I want to go that way. You want to come this way. So I get it.
So you moved here for love.
Yeah, I did. So that's what I'm gonna get into now. So when we reconnected in 2017, that's when we started to get a little more serious and engaged with each other, you know, checking in almost every day. And that was the point where it kind of turned around, like, okay, I need to see you, I need to meet you, I need to know who you are, and there's a connection here, and let's build on it. And we took that opportunity. I met her for my birthday for the first time. We were already established, already built a relationship online. This was difficult. FaceTime would be crappy sometimes. We tried WhatsApp, we tried Facebook Messenger. Like, long distance relationship ain't no joke, especially from country to country. That's even harder. But because of that vibe and that connection that we had, we realized that this is something more. This is love, and this is real. And I feel the same way about you, this far away to this close to you, you know? And so meeting her, when I met her, it was the same feeling, the same effect. And I came for my birthday just to have like a vacation. So I did get that vacation that I wanted to always experience as my first trip to the U.S. And that happened with her. And so I'm really happy and really appreciative of that, because it just showed the alignment and everything fell into place. So now I'm here in Florida with her and our beautiful daughter. Wow. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It has been quite a transition from, I would say, island life to Florida or American living. But it's been enjoyable and it's been fun, and I'm learning a lot, and it's incredible, and I'm happy.
What have you noticed is like the biggest cultural difference for you?
Ooh, food. I miss a lot of food from back home. That's like the biggest thing for me. Like, nothing else really matters. Like, having to, another thing I would mention, in Trinidad and Tobago, we drive on the opposite side.
Oh.
So that was also like a cultural, I guess I could say that's a cultural difference of having to transition into learning to drive on the, I mean, it's basically the same thing, but when you turn a corner from the opposite side, you feel as if you're going to crash into someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was kind of weird. It was kind of weird, that transition, but it was fun because I got to see my brain do that transition. Relearn something, you know, unlearn something and learn something new. So that was amazing for me. But my food, I miss a lot of my foods, my curries, my spices. I get them here and there, like in some of the ethnic aisles at the groceries and stuff. But I do miss a lot of my, you know, home style Caribbean cooking, which I do try to do here. But of course, it's not going to be the same thing.
Now, you mentioned you're married, you mentioned your wife. When and where did you get married?
Oh, we got married right here in Jacksonville, Florida, actually, at Stockton Park. It's a beautiful lake, so our view was amazing. The weather, too, was perfect. And we had an officiant come out to the lake, and a couple of witnesses. It wasn't anything grand. We just wanted to keep it small, close-knit, and just share that one-on-one moment and keep it between us. Yes, intimate.
Yeah.
The word I'm looking for. Thank you. Yes, keep it real intimate and cozy. just as we are now, right? That's who we are. That's who we've been. And that we needed that moment with each other. And we got it. And I'm really appreciative of that. So, yeah. Stop
talking. Now, with your podcast, that your wife is very supportive. And you guys do a lot of Q&A sessions together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is super supportive of every and anything that I attempt. Even an idea, she would just be like, okay, let's go with it. You know, she is the best. And I'm happy to have her in my life as a partner who is interested in what I'm interested in or what I want to do, who asks questions, who cares, and who shows that concern and is ready at a moment's notice, you know what I mean, to take me to heights that I might think are unreachable for myself sometimes when I doubt my potential. Mm-hmm. Or even when I thought about starting the podcast, like I was like, I don't know if I can do this, you know, because I did have a blog back in 2017. And so I did have that blog named Lovey Speaks back in 2017 and kind of trailed off with it after some time, you know, just because I didn't have that extra, I guess, vibe and encouragement and support. But now when I did bring that idea up that, hey, I think I want to turn this blog now into a podcast and be more consistent and really put my ideas out there. She was like, well, yeah, let's go for it. And she got me my equipment that I needed. You know, like, I wasn't even expecting it. It just came. And so she's like, okay, you have no excuses now. Go.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, so, like, that is the kind of support that I'm talking about. And that's the most encouraging and exciting part about her. You know, that she is that ready and that eager to always support me and let me know, remind me, hey, you can do this. Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't even marry someone if they can't give that kind of support.
Facts, all facts.
I love that.
Right, so, right.
Why was it important for you to create an LGBT podcast?
Yeah. It was super important for me coming from where I came from culturally. That's like one of my biggest reasons for starting it, because I feel that now I am more open and free to be me and to let my ideas be heard and to let the community have an additional support system. I mean, there are tons of them out there. You are doing it too. You know what I mean, V? Right? And so all of us together coming to let the community know that, hey, I have your back. Hey, I see you. This couple is beautiful. Y'all are doing the damn thing, right? I wanted to be part of that, knowing that I didn't have that support growing up. I couldn't be that brave then, but I do have the opportunity now. It's never too late in life to do anything. So, taking this opportunity now, head on and just going for it was the best thing that I've ever done, because it's brought so many people together. I've met so many wonderful people, including yourself, V. Right? Yeah, it helps with connecting and building friendships, relationships, experiences. So for me, I'm really happy that I can be this voice coming from the Caribbean, because I have met other people who are from different parts of the Caribbean and even Trinidad and Tobago, and they are like, we see you and we thank you for doing this and we support you. Yeah, like, good job. And I'm like, thank you. So for me, that was like one of the really important reasons for me to follow through with this idea that I've been sitting on.
Well, I love it. I definitely love the way you support the community, you support other business owners. And for me, it's about reaching other people, particularly the youth in their 20s, just to be a presence and to provide some education.
Of course.
I mentioned to you before, like, even when I wanted to set up this interview, I said to a friend, I'm going to interview someone who's from Trinidad. And she was like, oh, she's from Africa? Like,
you see what I'm saying? That's why I started with geographically where we're from, because some people, they don't know. Like, they've heard of Trinidad, but they're not sure. Like, if you know where Venezuela is, you can find Trinidad and Tobago, because we're very close to Venezuela. So I think, like, that's the best way I can narrow it in for people who are unaware of Trinidad. Or some people have also heard of Trinidad for our carnivals, which we have annually. If you've seen carnival in Brazil, right, so it's similar to that street parade kind of vibe.
They dance all day in the streets.
Right, that's what it's about. It's that freedom to express yourself, just like, you know, anybody would want that opportunity to do. And so a lot of people come into Trinidad and Tobago for carnival. It's one of our biggest attractions. And yeah, we have a lot of tourists coming in, so it's good for tourism and stuff, and the economy also.
Olivia, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for just giving your perspective of what life was like growing up in Trinidad, and your transition into the U.S. I want to wish you continued success on your podcast. Check her out on Liz Couples Talk. I found you on Spotify. Where else does your podcast air?
Well, that's good to know. The podcast is actually available and streaming everywhere. iCloud, SoundCloud, Spotify, everywhere. Anchor also. So you can check the podcast out. Just Google Les Couples Talk and you'll definitely find me.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lovey. I found you. I hope everyone else will find you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for this opportunity, V.
And to everyone, I always like to remind you, let's be love. Let's be love you want to see.
Yes, I love it. Bye.